Thanks for watching today at wildwoodchurch.com. Now here's today's message.
Turn your Bibles to, James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. So this week we saw a man martyred for proclaiming the word of truth in the darkness. He was literally going into some of the darkest places in our country, the university campus. And he was light in the darkness. Can you bring the house lights up a bit so that I can see you all, make sure you're not sleeping. But he was going into the darkest places in this country, and he did not care what people thought about him. He cared about what Jesus thought about him. And he cared about what was right and true and good. Now, there is a moral revolution in our country. A moral revolution that says if you do not get on board with the times that are a-changing, then you are a homophobe, you are an Islamophobe, you are a bigot, you are not to be tolerated, you are to be ashamed of yourself, you are going to be canceled until you get on board with this moral revolution. And make no bones about it, this is what Charlie Kirk was fighting against. The moral revolution. And let me tell you something, that there is a counter moral revolution that is swelling in this country right now. 32,000 requests to become a Turning Point charter in this 5 days alone. Let us also state very clearly that the primary concern of Turning Point, the primary concern of Charlie Kirk, the primary concern of Brian Smith of Wildwood Church is not politics. But here's the reality. Our politics have become so moral, have become so ingrained in morality that you cannot now go, well, the politics are irrelevant. We're just going to focus on the gospel, because I'm telling you that the moral revolution is making moral claims, not simply political claims. The right to murder your baby in your womb is not first and foremost a political concern. It is a moral concern. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made man, how? Male and female, in his image. He formed us in our mother's womb. The sexual revolution continues. I wish the church would have done something in the 60s. Instead of opening its doors and welcoming it in. Maybe what we're experiencing today, the demonic ideology of transgenderism and homosexuality, would not be what it is. But here we are. I think the church is now saying we will stand against this. Critical theory, DEI, these are worldviews. These are purported wisdoms. These are ways of understanding the world, of thinking about the world. And these ideologies say this is right and this is wrong. They make moral claims. If you don't agree with us, you are not fine to disagree, right? Well, there is no agree to disagree anymore in our culture. No, if you don't agree with us, if you don't celebrate this, then you are wrong. These are moral claims. So the question that the Christian has to ask is, Are they right? Or are they wrong? Can we even ask such a question in hopes of finding an answer? In other words, can we test worldviews? The answer is absolutely yes, we can. We are absolutely called to. Look at James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" This is a question that our culture is begging to know. Who is wise? Who has the right worldview? Who has the right way of thinking about things, of looking at things, of addressing the world? Who is right? James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom." So there's a couple things there, a couple tests here of right wisdom. What is meek and what is good? The wisdom of a worldview is expressed or made visible by its fruit. And so simply ask yourself the question, does that worldview exhibit, produce, reap good conduct or bad conduct? 62 plus million dead babies. Good conduct or bad conduct? Honoring to Christ, dishonoring to Christ. Chopping off the genitalia, the healthy genitalia of prepubescent children, good conduct, bad conduct. Meekness is not weakness. This is where the church gets it all wrong. This is where the church gets it all wrong. Meekness is power under control. Let me ask you something. Who loses control when something does not go their way? All we have to do is look at the last 5 days. The chief spokesman of our worldview, the Christian biblical worldview, was murdered on a university campus. And how many cities burned down? Zero. And how many riots took place? And how many stores boarded up to protect against the looting from those with a Christian biblical worldview? And have you forgotten 2020? Lord, we will never forget 2020. You will know the wisdom of a worldview by its fruits. Meekness is not weakness, it is power under control. What is happening right now? What under the biblical worldview, led primarily by Charlie Kirk on the cultural scene, what is the fruit of that? Young men pursuing young women and marrying them, committing to them, and raising children to the glory of God. What is the fruit of the godless ideology of transgenderism and sexual liberty? Increasing abortion, increasing divorce rate, increasing cohabitation, increasing sexually transmitted diseases. You tell me. Which wisdom, which worldview, which ideology is right? I don't know. I'm not asking you what's most popular. I'm saying what is right and what must be defended, the biblical worldview or the secular worldview, the wisdom of our age. Which one produces good conduct? Which one comes from meekness of wisdom? Verse 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. In other words, if your worldview, if your wisdom, if your right way of thinking leads to bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, lack of self-control, then do not lie to yourself. You are mistaken. That is not a wisdom from God. Verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Listen, let's just face the facts and cut to the chase. There is a wisdom that is demonic. And it's not biblical worldview. It's not biblical wisdom. And there are only two wisdoms in the world. Do you understand? 5 years ago, that statement cost me. We can't tolerate that. It's too binary. It's not nuanced enough. There is godly wisdom that comes down from above. All good gifts come from above. There's a wisdom that comes from God. Do we want the wisdom that comes from God? Yes. You see, here's the thing. The culture says love and justice. Are those right? Are those good? Yes. Those are biblical. Christians, we must love justice. We must love our neighbor. We must love our enemy. But is all love right? Is all justice right? If it comes from above, we have no choice but to accept it, embrace it. There are two types of wisdom, that which comes from above, and everything else comes from below. That word earthly and unspiritual speaks of fleshly, carnal impulses. Let me ask you, run that worldview, that ideology through that test. Does that seem, does transgenderism, does health care, supposed health care for children identifying as the opposite sex seem like it comes from above? Or does it come from the carnal, fleshly, guttural impulses within? Earthly, unspiritual, demonic. This is the ideology of our culture. And unless you are resisting this, because you are immersed in it, unless you are resisting this, unless you are fighting and pushing back against this ideology, it is penetrating your heart. Why did James write this letter to the church? I'll tell you why. Go to James chapter 4. Here is a primary concern for James. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Where's it at? You adulterous people. Wow, thank you. Pastor, thank you. Pastor James, appreciate that. Thank you. You adulterous people. What is an adulterer? Someone who breaks covenant with their one true love, with their first love, with their covenant love. Yeah? And James says, you are adulterous. Why? Why am I adulterous? Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? What is James concerned about? And he's already laid out several ways. You give preference to the rich over the poor. He's already laid out several ways. One of James's primary concerns for writing this letter is that worldliness has infiltrated the church, those adulterous people. Thank the Lord that's not us. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. If the world and its ideology is governing your worldview, you're an adulterous person. You can be the most faithful husband or wife. You let worldly ideology, worldly wisdom infiltrate your heart. Love is love. Those children need that hormone therapy to deal with their mental health. You're a harlot. You're an adulterous person. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. His way is the way. Amen? We don't get the freedom to say, we're going to set your way aside and we're going to do the more loving and compassionate thing, Jesus, than what you have revealed in your word. Adulterous people. Adulterous people. Demonic wisdom. Whatever ideology, whatever wisdom, whatever morality does not come down from above, does not yield good conduct, does not originate in meekness and wisdom, is demonic. Transgenderism is demonic. Abortion is demonic. Sexual immorality, pornography is demonic. Homosexuality, demonic. Demonic. Evolution, demonic. Denying God. All of this was made by our God, and we're going to tolerate someone saying that it happened by chance? Demonic. Satan doesn't care who gets the glory as long as it's not him. And who is responsible to ensure that our God gets the glory? If we won't stand, who will? The rocks will cry out. The rocks will cry out. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Which ideology does that describe? Every vile practice. There is a race to the bottom. There is a race to eradicate all parameters on morality. What's next? Pedophilia. They've already redefined the terms. Minor attracted person. I'm a victim of this. Can't help it that I'm attracted to a child. It's a race to the bottom. Look, it's nothing new. Sodom and Gomorrah. Sacrifices to Molech. The fact that it doesn't happen at night with a big bonfire and a big statue and with newborns placed on the burning hands of an idol, and instead it happens in an abortion clinic with a vacuum and chemicals, does not make it any less demonic. brother and sister, this is what we're up against. The time of going, well, let's just meet in the middle. Let's just try to compromise. It's over. Charlie Kirk was murdered. And the demons laughed. People all over this country celebrated. Do you remember when Osama bin Laden was murdered? Not murdered, was killed. Do you remember that years ago? I remember that. He was my arch enemy my entire military career. From the year I got commissioned, he was the number one target. We were fighting him. And I remember when, I think SEAL Team 6 killed Osama bin Laden. And I rejoiced over justice, but I grieved for that man's soul. That is the right way to think about the death of your enemy. Thank you, God, for justice. I grieve for his soul. These godless people, controlled by this godless ideology, laughed that a wife is now a widow and two young children are now without a father. Folks, they have revealed to you their ideology, their wisdom. Now, let me be very careful. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Because what I will not do is fire up a mob and say, get them. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. What a biblically minded, a biblical worldview, faithful man or woman will never do is strike out against their enemy. Because we do not wage war according to the flesh. If his murderer is justly condemned to death, Genesis 9:9 says, you take a life, you've lost your life. Utah has the death penalty. That will be justice. And I grieve for his soul. And I pray, O Lord, that you would have mercy on him, just as you have had mercy on me, the chief of all sinners. We do not wage war according to the flesh, for we are not waging war according to the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive and make it submit to Christ. Our fight is not against people. Our fight is against the ideology that is controlling millions of Americans. Our fight is not fleshly. We will not take up arms. We will not get violent. But what we will do is we will grow bold. And we will destroy lofty opinions. How will we do that? We will get wisdom. How do we get wisdom? Four ways as I conclude. Jake, this is where you come in, buddy. Number one, follow God. Fear God. Fear God. fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Jacob, go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Right now, honor the Christ the Lord as holy. Determine in your heart, Jesus is Lord, and He is holy, which means He's right. Determine in your heart that Jesus Christ is right. And anything that conflicts with Jesus and the truth revealed in His Word is wrong. But you must determine in your heart right now that Jesus is holy. It's a starting point. If you doubt that, you've lost everything. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Fear the Lord. Number one, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If there is no reverence, if there is no holiness, when you think about Jesus Christ the Lord, you will never get wisdom. Number two, follow Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. In Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. There is no wisdom apart from Christ. Do you follow Jesus? Do you follow Jesus? It's a totally different question than do you go to church? Jesus is the wisdom of God. Only those who walk with Jesus will walk in wisdom. There's no wisdom apart from Him. Any wisdom apart from Jesus is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Number three, study the Word. Psalm 119, 98. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. I'll tell you this, you watch videos of Charlie Kirk and he knew Scripture. You watch videos of Charlie Kirk and he knew Scripture. His worldview was a biblical worldview. He knew Scripture. Charlie Kirk died defending Scripture. As Pastor Rick said this morning, the last complete answer that he gave, he quoted 2 Corinthians 5:15. Let's see what that says. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who for their sake died and was raised. Maybe it's 15:5. Say it again clearly. Ain't we special? Like I said, 2 Corinthians 5:15. I was reading 15:5 in 2 Corinthians. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Listen, cut to the chase, folks. Did Jesus die for you? Yes or no? Then what are you doing? If he died for you, why are you not living for him? It is as ridiculous as it sounds. He died for you. God died for you. I've got friends that if I say something about this, I might look bad. I might lose a friend. I might lose a job. God died for you that you would live for him. Fair enough? Finally, ask for it. Wisdom, ask for it. Ask for wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, and many of us do, many of us, despite how glaringly obvious it is becoming, many of us still lack wisdom, the ability to discern, the ability to look at an ideology and say, that's demonic. We still get sucked in by the feelings. We get sucked in by the culture, by the wisdom of the age, because it appeals, ready, to our feelings. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. God doesn't care that you asked for wisdom last year and you never sought it and you haven't lived by it. He doesn't care that 5 years ago when I preached this message that you didn't pursue wisdom. He doesn't care. He gives generously to all without reproach. Ask for wisdom and he will give it to you. Amen? Listen, all of this rides and falls on Jesus. And I would be silly to think that every one of you in this room knows Jesus. All rides and falls on him. There's no life, there's no wisdom, there's no truth apart from Christ. Do you know him? Romans chapter 10. This is uncomfortable for me. I want to know if it's uncomfortable for you or not. But. Huh? Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe you've come here thinking that you knew Christ and the Holy Spirit's revealing to you that you don't. The answer is not work harder, try better. The answer is call out on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Do you want wisdom? Do you want to live a life that glorifies God? That cannot be done apart from Christ. This is exclusive. Right now, we're going to offer an invitation. And I have no idea what the Lord is doing in your heart, but I sense that the Lord's been at work in this service. And I'm going to stand here and I'm going to ask some of the elders and their wives to stand around the room. And maybe you need to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin and to save your soul. Or maybe you need to come and confess that you're just a lukewarm Christian and you're so afraid of what the world thinks about you that you have not given a second thought to what Christ thinks about you. You've been too busy covering your tracks so that you don't get canceled, that you have not given a single thought to the glory of Christ. And you need to repent for being that lukewarm Christian. Jesus has something to say about lukewarm Christians, doesn't he? It's ice cold water, otherwise I would show you what he thinks about lukewarm Christians. If the American church is not lukewarm, I don't know what is. Concerned more about performance, more about appearance, than about living a holy, righteous, godly life and being salt and light in the world. We got here because the church has failed for decades. Children are being mutilated in our country because of a sexual liberation that took place 60 years ago and the church didn't stop it. How much further will it go? Listen, maybe you need to repent of being lukewarm. Maybe you need to repent of, I don't know. Maybe you just need to ask the Lord to fill you up and to cause you to be bold in the gospel of Jesus Christ. 5 days ago, Charlie Kirk met Jesus. That's the truest thing about that man. And Charlie Kirk is in paradise. And everything makes sense to him right now. And he got that well done, good and faithful servant. I can assure you that. What about you? Will you get well done, good and faithful servant? Don't play games with Jesus. He has something to say about lukewarm. Let's repent. Let's ask the Lord, give us boldness. Jesus, work in our hearts. Enough, enough with the performance at Wildwood Church. Set us ablaze, Lord, for your glory. Move in our hearts. Prune away the sin and weight that so easily entangles us so that we can run the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I pray, Jesus, that you would move now and we would repent. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks so much for watching online. I hope that this message has inspired you to greater faith, has encouraged you, maybe convicted or challenged you. We're grateful to be able to provide this content to you online, live and on demand. If you haven't done so already, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube so that we can get this content right to you as soon as we upload it. But you know, we believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you need the body of Christ. You need the local church. And so if you're in the Quad Cities, let me invite you to personally join us in person for our gatherings on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 10:40. If you're not in the Quad Cities, I want to encourage you to go find a local church that teaches the Bible, that serves the community, that loves Jesus, that gives grace. Well, hey, thanks again for watching, and we hope that you were blessed.